And as you stand, let's go ahead and turn. We are in a sermon series in the book of James. So let's turn to the third chapter of James, and we're going to trek through James 3, 1 through 12, but I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 just to get us started. So the New Testament book of James, the third chapter and the first verse, and I'm going to read from the HCSB version today, the Holman Christian Standard Bible version today. If you have it, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, hold up. James, the third chapter in the first verse, it starts out like this. James says, not many should become teachers, my brothers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a mature man who is also able to control his whole body. Verse 3 says, now when we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we also guide the whole animal. He says, and consider ships, though very large and driven by fierce winds, he says, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. Let's read our mission statement. And let's read this with some excitement today. All right, 1, 2, 3. Connect Church exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ who love God, love people, and impact the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today, God. God, we come with humble hearts, God. We come, God, to receive a word from you today. And so, God, I pray that as we hear this word from you today, God, that this word from the book of James, God, that it saturates our hearts and it gets into the good parts of our hearts, God, that it gets into the good soil of our hearts. God, that this word that we receive today, God, that it might bring back a harvest. And God, I pray one thing and one thing only, and that is that you do one thing, and that is wear me like a glove. Use me, God, for the very intents and purposes that you created me for, and that is to make your name great. And so, God, I just thank you for the hearts that are here today. I thank you for the families that are represented. Thank you, God, for what we're going to receive today, that we might make your name great. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen as you take your seats. There's one of my favorite things to do as I am getting prepared in the mornings is I listen to sports talk radio. I listen to sports talk radio. In particularly, I listen to 105.3 The Fan. I listen to 105.3 The Fan as I am getting prepared in the mornings. There's a couple of shows on The Fan that I listen to frequently. And when you're a Cowboy fan, I see some of my Cowboy fans over here today. When you are a Cowboy fan, listening to talk radio can be very challenging, amen? It can challenge your emotions. It can challenge the very fiber of who you are as a person. Why? Because you are a Dallas Cowboy fan. And what they're talking about is it's not always encouraging. It's not always edifying. Sometimes it's just downright mean what they say about the Cowboys and the Cowboy fans. But when they win, it's a little bit more tolerable. When we win, it's like, you know, you can hear all of the good statistics, and man, it seems like when you wake up that day after the Cowboys have won, it's like the sun is just a little bit brighter. The coffee tastes just a little bit sweeter. I mean, it's just a good start to the day. But when they lose, man, they can say things that can really just push your buttons. They can say some of the most outlandish things about the Cowboys, about the owner, about the stadium, about the food. They could just find everything to talk about when the Cowboys lose. And here's what I've come to realize, is that these talk show hosts, they are paid, and I think they're paid pretty well, to push our buttons. They are paid to create an atmosphere that causes us to spend our time talking about what they're talking about. I'm going somewhere with that. They create an atmosphere that calls you to continue to talk about this all day long. We find ourselves going throughout our day saying, man, I can't believe they said that. And they do this so well now that there's this phrase that they have now in sports talk, and it's called a hot take. And a hot take is this statement that is so outlandish, is so far-fetched, it's just, and they say these things for one reason and one reason only, is to get your attention and to cause you to continue to listen. And these hot takes, they're said to elicit a response. And all they're talking about is it's, and I've come to realize this after I've gotten some age. It's like, man, they're paid to do this. And they're doing it to keep you talking about what they want you to talk about. And so today in our sermon series in the book of James, we're in this sermon series in the book of James. And the title of this series is called Let's Talk About It. And so that's the tagline, but today's sermon is this, is let's talk about what you are talking about. What are you talking about, and why is what you talk about important in the life of the believer? James in chapter 3 opens up and he addresses these Christian Jews who have been scattered all over. And James opens up with a stern warning. He says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters. He says, why? Because we are held to a stricter judgment. Because teachers, we use words, and we have the ability to influence people with our words. And when you have the ability to influence people with your words, you have a power that you must understand that you will answer to Jesus Christ. When you stand before him, you will answer for what you teach. And James says that's why many of us should not become teachers. Why? Because some of us can't control what we say. He says this, he says, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment, he says, for we all stumble in many ways. And here it is, please underline this. He says, if anyone does not stumble in what he says. James says, all of us have said something that we wish we could take back. Is there anybody here that you wish that you had the power to retract what you've said to someone? Because here's the thing that James is starting to open up for us is he says that words have power and words can be very damaging. Words are ultimately, I mean, they have so much power. And sometimes for some of us, when we get to talking, we don't know when to just be quiet. Some of us, if you're like me, sometimes, and I say this often, I hope y'all take this in the right way, but sometimes with me, when you get to talking too much, it's like I start to do, I get the itching. Because the Bible says that in the multitude of words, I'm going to add my own part to it. In the multitudes of words, there's a lie in there somewhere. But James is dealing with us, and he opens up and he says, if we do not stumble in what he says, he is a mature man who is able to control his whole body. And then he goes on in verse 3 and he says this. He says, now when we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, he says, we guide the whole animal. James, in trying to help this church out and trying to help these believers out, he tells them this and he used two examples. He uses a horse and he used a ship. And I don't know if anybody here has ever rode a horse, but are you ever amazed at how you're able to control such a large animal with just probably this size of an instrument, which is called a bit? And the bit goes in the horse's mouth. And it has straps on the end of it, and you control which direction the horse goes by what direction that you turn the bit. He says that you can control the whole animal with just this little small thing called a bit. That the horse will go wherever that you tell the horse to go, wherever you lead the horse to go. That's where the horse is going to go. And then he goes on, he says, and also consider the ships. And being a person who was in the Navy and was on a ship, I can totally grasp this. He says, as big as a ship, ships are, and I was on a very new destroyer. It was an anti-submarine destroyer. It was huge, but it wasn't like huge. It was just a very big ship. And this ship is controlled, like in proportion to the ship is controlled by a very small piece of the ship called a rudder. And James says that you can control this big, huge ship with something as small as a rudder. And on a ship, when the captain says, all ahead, full steam, then you just hold it in place. But if he says, turn 2 degrees this way or 5 degrees that way, and you turn it, and there's this thing on there, and you turn it to how much ever the captain says. He says, you are piloting the ship. And the ship goes wherever you lead the ship. So he uses these two metaphors to highlight verse 5. He says this, he says, so too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Man, something as small as a tongue has the ability to guide your life. And so my first point is this, is what we talk about determines the direction of our lives. When what you talk about determines the direction of your life. If you say you can't, then you can't. And if you, and I really want to drill down on this, because as believers, we have God's word that we can say to ourselves and we can pray to God. And so the direction of our lives is determined by what we say. And I know some of us are kind of caught up on, you know, blabbing and grabbing and naming and claiming and all that. But I'm going to tell you, don't let others' misinterpretation of God's word cause you to live a life that is not going in the direction that you choose, that you would like for it to go. Because God's word is true no matter what. And James is sharing that with us, and he's telling us, he says that what you do with your mouth will determine the trajectory of your life. And if you continue to say, oh, this ain't gonna never change, well, guess what? It ain't gonna never change. If you say, I'm always sick, guess what? You're gonna always be sick. If you're gonna say, I won't ever find a husband, guess what? You're gonna be single all of your life. If you say, I mean, whatever that you say, whatever you say, it determines the direction of your life. And here's the thing, I love the fact that James uses the horse, a horse, and a ship. Because here's the thing with the tongue. James, he uses the first metaphor he uses is that of a horse. And the thing about a horse is a very powerful animal. But it's an animal. And it represents It represents the lower essence of who we are. It's that animalistic behavior that we have. And he says it's very powerful. And what it represents is, it represents our old nature. And if what you say is always based on your old nature and not the new person that God is transforming you to be, you're going to always operate in an animalistic state. And so you are fighting against the old you. The you that haven't been transformed yet. The you that haven't gone through the sanctification. The you that's still going through this sanctification process. That's the opposition that your tongue is up against. Do I speak from the old me or do I speak from the new me? Do I speak from how I used to act? Because see, I can tell you, and y'all know I'm transparent. I mean, I'm saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, so I'm headed to heaven, so I don't care what you say. But I used to really, 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 really cuss. I was a cussing professional. And I get it honestly because I have an aunt, and man, if she was here, I mean, my aunt, man, she could put cuss words together that don't even go together. I know you're sanctified and all that, but just imagine for a second putting cuss words together that don't even go together. That's how masterful of a cusser that she was. And so I have to fight my old nature in my speech. Oh man, I thought I was with some folks that was real. Okay, the Bible says, and then he uses the metaphor of a ship. And this metaphor is to show us how not only we have to fight against our old nature, but we also have to fight against the winds and waves and the vicissitudes of life. Sometimes what we say is controlled by what we're going through. Oh my God, I'm gonna help somebody today. You can't always speak from where you are. You have to speak from who God says that you are. You can't always speak, but when you are in the midst of a storm, you can't speak what you see in the storm. You have to speak what God says about you, what God says that he's going to bring you out. God says that there is nothing that has overtaken you but such that is common to man. But he says this, he says, I will deliver you from them all. See, these are the things that we need to tuck away and hide in our heart. We need to tuck the words of God in our heart and not just tuck it away to use it to judge others, but we need to tuck this word in our heart to encourage ourselves at times. Proverbs 18:21 says this. Death and life. It says it in Proverbs 18:21. The book of wisdom, it says this. It says, death and life are where? In the power of the tongue. It's in the power of the tongue. And it's up to us as believers to understand and grasp that we have the capacity to speak death or to speak life. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. But here's the thing, your old nature and the vicissitudes of life, your context, where you come from, how you were raised, all of that is stuff that you have to overcome to be able to speak life into you and your situations and to speak life into others. Because the easiest thing for us to do is to speak death on someone. And we can do it so subtly. But we have to decide, are we going to speak life or death into our situations and into the lives of others? James goes on in verses 5-8. He says, not only what we talk about determines our direction, but in verse 5-8, he says, what we talk about can cause devastation. Devastation. Look at verse 5 again. It says, so too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. He says, consider how large a forest a small fire can ignite. He says, and the tongue is a fire. He says, a tongue is a world of unrighteousness. It's placed among the parts of the bodies. Catch this. It says, the tongue, he says, it pollutes the whole body. I'm just going to let that sink in. Your tongue has the ability to pollute the whole body. He says it sets the course of life on fire and is set on fire by hell. I'm going to just stop right there. James is saying that not only what we talk about can cause, it determines the direction of our lives, what we talk about can cause devastation. And what devastation means is a very big or widespread destruction. He says a small fire. And for us as believers, we really must grasp this with our words. We really must understand the power that our words have. Our words have the ability to start destructive fires. And we can start destructive fires in the lives of the people that we love, that we say we love, and that we care for the most. Okay, let's bring it to a church context. Some people walk through the door. New believer comes in. They walk through the door. You're having not so great of a day. Your coffee didn't turn out right. You and your wife had an argument on the way to church. You really didn't want to come anyway, but you drug yourself to church. And this new believer walks through the door with, just bubbling over with excitement. They're finally back in church. I mean, COVID is over. They're finally able to fellowship with believers again. And they walk through the doors of your church. And the first thing that you say is, can I help you? Oh, they weren't dressed like you thought church people should dress. They didn't look like what you thought that they should look like. So the first words out of your mouth was, can I help you? Small fires. You don't know the devastation that have on that person, because why? They probably came in on fire for God, but you douse their fire and set a whole different kind of fire, and now that person probably won't ever come back to a church again. You're serving in church and somebody corrects you and you get upset, and now you start spreading gossip everywhere. What are you doing? You're setting ablaze a forest. And you don't know the capacity or the devastation that those small few words that you said could have on a congregation. What you talk about, what we talk about, can cause devastation. And you know how we do it now. We try to say things without saying things. Well, you do know, if anybody ever starts a conversation out with you like that, run. I don't know if you heard, but. Or, did you know? See, all these are key words that we need to be listening for, because it's a potential for a fire. And not only do we have to protect the devastation that we say to others, but we also need to with equal protection, we need to guard the fires that we start within ourselves. Oh, that's the one. Have you ever talked yourself into a fire? Have you ever set your own self on fire? I said fire. Have you ever, I mean, if you see here, I go again. Not only did I used to cuss a lot, but I used to have a very, very, very bad temper. Very, very, very bad temper. I come from a fighting family. I mean, we fought just to show our love for each other. Like, if you didn't fight me, you didn't love me. I mean, fighting was my love language. Like hit me upside the head. Ooh, I'm in love. but anyway, y'all stop playing. We have to protect the fires, the devastation that we start within ourselves. And it just starts off so subtly. Somebody call you, send you an email, and see, that's the response. Oh no, you didn't. That fire is starting to get lit. The match is, it's lit. I can't believe she had the audacity to email me that. She said that? Oh. Words like fires, though, they can spread and cause devastation to ourselves and others. And here's something that I'm gonna help somebody with this one right here. This is going to help you to put out some fires before they get started. See, I don't read text and emails well. I don't. I told you I have this old me, and when I read some text and emails, it's like, I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're saying. And then you leave it up to me to interpret what you're saying. And you don't want to leave it up to me to interpret what you're saying. Right? You just want to, I'm going to tell you, just pick up the phone and just call me and say, hey, can you take care of so-and-so, because I need to go do this. And my wife and I have come to discover we don't send texts to each other about very important stuff. Because if she send me a text about all this stuff, and it's like, what does she mean with that? Oh, she said that? Oh, no, she didn't. She know I'm at work. And it's like it just creates this unnecessary emotions that starts fires. And it starts fires in us, and then now it's gonna start a fire in the marriage. Why? Because you communicated crucial information via text. Just pick up the phone. And I know for our folks that are young, and I love y'all. You guys are like the bomb. I just love y'all. But I can't communicate like that. If you're gonna tell me that you love me, pick up the phone and tell me that you love me. Don't let texting be the only way that you tell me that you love me. Huh? Anybody else over the age of understand that? And so we have to be cognizant of things that will start fires within ourselves. And it might not be texting and emailing for you. It could be something else. But you got to understand that what you talk about can cause devastation to you and to others. But I love the fact that, man, I might have to stop right here. You guys are going to probably have to come back next week. Darn it. You have to come back next week because I can't finish everything that I got to say today. So we're going to have to finish this up next week. But I don't want to end with that. So I'm going to tell you about my third point, and then we're going to finish this third point up next week. What we talk about not only can determine our direction in life, and it can cause devastation in our lives, but what we talk about can encourage and transform lives. What we talk about can encourage and transform lives. So come back next week. I still got pages and pages of stuff that we got to discuss on this one here. So come back next week and let's talk about how what we talk about can encourage and transform the lives of others. Amen. And so I hope today that even though part of my sermon was comical or whatever, but this is a very serious point. It's a very serious situation. It's something that we need to be really, really aware of, is that the power of the words that we use and how we communicate to ourselves and how we communicate to others. That for the believer, for the follower of Jesus Christ, it is crucial that we harness the power of the tongue. James goes on to say that we can tame animals, we can tame all kinds of animals, but no man can tame the tongue. And so the best that we can do is hope that we can just harness our tongue. And that's what I want to help us with. Why? Because in this age that we are in now, people feel like they could just say anything. I mean, just because you can, don't mean you should. And especially to yourself. And I believe that's one of the biggest problems that we have, is that we as believers, we don't know how to talk to ourselves. And if we don't know how to talk to ourselves, how do we know how to talk to God? And so that's why I really want to encourage us to understand that what we talk about matters. And I'm going to leave you with this. It says, if you don't like what you see in your life, change what you say. Change what you say. And so much so, as I was preparing this, this reminded me of Romans 10:9. Because see, when we gave our lives to Jesus Christ, we didn't like what we saw. We understood that we were a wretch undone, that we were without a savior, that we was lost, that we were in need of a savior, that we was hopeless, we were helpless, and we didn't have anywhere to go. But I love Romans 10:9. It says this. If you confess with your mouth, that means if you speak it, if you confess with your mouth, what? Jesus as Lord. He says, if you don't like what you see, change what you say and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And then he says, not only confess it, but he says, and believe it in your heart, that God raised him from the dead. And here is the result. You will be saved. What we say, it matters. It changes the trajectory of our lives. What I said changed me from being a sinner to now being saved. Why? Because I confessed with my mouth and I believed in my heart.